And if you would, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. My message is a topical message, but we will begin there. Luke 16. Last week, it was my desire to recognize that Christians are called children of light, and thus sought to discover what that means. In doing so, I took a biblical approach, recognizing that, first of all, God is light and always has been light. Further, He dwells in light. Next, I mentioned that God created natural light, and He did so prior to any source of light. Because we read that He made the light on the first day, but then He created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day. From there, I looked at how God provides light for men, both in a general sense of a natural sense, but most clearly in a spiritual sense. And then I ended our session last time by noting four verses which refers to Christians being called children of light. Now I continue this subject by offering a brief review of those four identity texts coupled with a few observations, after which I shall pursue biblical references pertaining to children of light, followed by a biblical definition of what that means. At which point I will entertain those pertinent passages which illustrate in contrast the description of children in light via the subject of darkness. And my objective, of course, is for the Christian to take this information and to make practical applications of the truths so as to be better servants of Jesus Christ. And on the other side of the coin, for the lost person, that they might recognize the pitiful condition in which they reside, that is, that they are in darkness, and then yearn to step into the light. And so we're going to continue our study that we began last week, entitled Children of Light, and this is part two. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of being in Your house and those who are here. And we ask that You would just set apart our minds from the thoughts and the cares of the world, that we might dwell upon You and You alone, that we might focus upon Your Word. And we pray that You would just move by Your Spirit in every heart. We ask if there's any here today that is lost, that You would convict them of their sin. And we pray that You would draw them to Jesus Christ today, grant repentance and faith, that they would be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have, recognizing our condition and our position in You, and that we might live as You would have us to live. Forgive us where we fall short. Draw us unto You. And Lord, we pray that Your will be done today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to think about children of light, and I want to begin by reviewing the four identity texts that we gave you last time. And the first one is found here in Luke chapter 16. And notice there in the verse 8. By the way, I have a lot of verses. I will ask you to turn to some, and others I will read to you. And all these are listed in the bulletin, on the outline in the bulletin, so you can go home and read them later and check to make sure I'm telling you the truth. But they're there. Luke chapter 16, verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So we see a statement that are children of light. Now what we have here is a parable of the dishonest steward. And our verse simply refers to us, because I'm not concerned about the parable in itself. But what we read in this text is that children of light are in contrast to the children of this world. And so he makes that statement that of the children of the world and the children of light and the matter of wisdom, what they have. So there is a contrast between children of light and children of the world. Now, this is not an issue of origin. That is, it's not, well, the children of light come from somewhere else or something like that. No, it's not that at all. All people come into this world, and all of us begin in this world. So the contrast isn't due to the origin. Neither is the contrast due to a matter of location. For each of us do live in the world. In other words, I wouldn't submit unto you that the children of this world are the people that live here, and the children of light are those that have gone out into the great beyond, and so now they're in the ethereal light being states. Those of us who are saved as we live here in this world are called children of light. So the distinction is not of origin, and the distinction is not a physical location. Rather, it really just is an expression of a spiritual capacity. Those of us who are saved are called children of light, and that's a spiritual application. And the children of the world are still of this world. It's kind of like the phrase that you may have heard one time that says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And as we are saved and we live in this world, but we are not of it. We are children of light. And so the contrast implies that the children of light are different from the children of the world, and that means that the children of the world are in darkness. If there's a difference between children of light and children of the world, then where does that place the children of the world? That places them in darkness. Listen, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Children of the world deal with darkness. Those of us who are saved, though we're in this world, are children of light. So that was one text that we looked at last time. Turn, if you would, then to the second, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. So note just in passing the difference between children of light and people who are not children of light. It's a matter of darkness. John chapter 12, verse 36 is the second one that we looked at last week and mentioned. Jesus says, "While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." And what we find here is that Jesus is speaking to the multitudes gathered in preparation for the Passover season. And as the people quibbled over the identity of the Son of Man, Jesus simply is encouraging them to believe. And so he says, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." And so what we find in this passage, and I refer you back to verse 35, is that Jesus speaks of himself as the light, and the light illuminates. This then is, of course, in contrast to darkness, and when a man cannot see where he is going. So in verse 35, he says, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And so then he says, "While you have the light, believe in the light." So Jesus is the light. He's the one that illuminates. You need to believe on Jesus Christ. So that's what he's telling them. Believe on me is what he is saying. So they must believe on the light, or in the light, which is Jesus Christ. And those who believe are children of light. So I want to make it very clear to you today, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been truly born again, you're saved today, you are children of light. But what we find in the passage in verse 36 and the context simply is those who do not believe abide in darkness. Again, note the contrast. The third verse that we looked at last time was Ephesians chapter 5. Turn, if you would, please, there. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 8 was the verse that we looked at, identifying that we are children of light. Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes darkness." Get what the verse says. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now what we find here is that Paul's in his practical section of his epistle to the Ephesian church. And followers of God are to be different from the world. They're not to be walking in sin. And besides, you'll find in the passage in the context that God's wrath is upon the children of disobedience, and that reference is found in verse 6 where he talks about children of disobedience. So children that are children of light are not children of the world, and they're not children of disobedience. But notice he says, "Ye were sometimes darkness." Before they were saved, they were darkness. Before you were saved, you were in darkness. "Ye were sometimes darkness." But the fact is, now that you're saved, you're light in the Lord, the Scripture says. There's been a difference. There's a change in people who are genuinely born again. They were in darkness, but now they're in light. And so the exhortation that Paul gives to the readers is, walk as children of light. Since you've been saved, since you're changed, since you're not children of disobedience, you're children of light, not children of darkness. Walk like that. And so we all have that exhortation to respond to that. And then I would conclude that children of light are no longer children of disobedience. That only makes sense if you look in the context. And then if you would turn to number 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the fourth reference that identifies people who are saved as being children of light. And we can glean from these verses as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. This is a simple expression. It will only take just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5, it says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." And here we find Paul teaching the church at Thessalonica to live for Jesus Christ because Jesus is coming again. And we have this simple statement here, and the identity is clear. You are children of light. And then he offers the other expression, you're children of the day. Now, we certainly understand that on a day like today, don't we? As we see the sunlight coming in these windows. We're children of light, children of the day. And that's what he says in expression of those that are saved. The contrast in the text is also very obvious for us because it says, we are not of the night, nor of darkness. And see the difference. And we just saw a moment ago how before we were saved, we were in darkness, but we're no longer in darkness. And those are the four verses that I submitted unto you that define for us that people who are saved are children of light. Now, what I would like to do next, as I expressed earlier, is that I want to note some verses that give the expression as pertaining to salvation. I'm just going to read these to you and let you rest for a few moments. I'll still work you out on your Bible skills in just a moment, so don't get upset with that. But listen to some of these verses. When we think about children of light and light in regard to the matter of being saved and that kind of thing, here are the verses, Acts chapter 26, verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad you have light? I'm telling you, you better be thankful for that because you used to be in darkness, but Jesus Christ is the light. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Acts chapter 26, verse 18. This is Paul's commission that was given to him to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. See that, the matter of evangelism? When people are saved, they're turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "But if our gospel be hid," listen, "it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Aren't you glad that you were in darkness, but the light of God has shone in your heart? And you're children of light. That ought to excite you. A couple verses down from that, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Another verse, 1 Peter 2, 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Don't decry the definition that say people are children of light. It's very evident from this scripture, isn't it? 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 10. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith," listen, "he that saith is, he is in the light and hateth his brother," notice, "he is in darkness until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." And so we see that saved people are in the light, and lost people are in darkness. And so I trust that you see that there certainly is a biblical expression that a light and children of light is in regard to the matter of salvation. But then also, I'm just going to give these verses quickly to you, and then I'll have you turning back again. But Christians are to be lights to the world. If we are children of light, children of the day, we are to be lights to the world. Therefore, we should be testifying of righteousness. Our lives ought to be a testimony to godliness and holiness and sanctification. But we're also to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And these three verses are very evident of this. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16, chapter 5, Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And you know what? We ought to be lights. We're children of the day. We're children of light. Let us shine as God would have us to shine. Now I'm going to invite you to turn back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Because as we see very clearly from the Scripture, we are children of light. We're involved with the light. But the Bible gives us some verses that describe a little bit about this light and give us some definition. And that will help us to see a little bit about who we are and what we should be. And then when we look to contrast in regard to darkness, then we can certainly look at the antithesis and say, okay, this is how not to be. And we can learn from that and plug it in as well. But that also causes those who are lost to recognize their condition in being in darkness. And they can grow and understand that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. I just want to mention unto you this text tells us a little bit about the nature of light. It says, but all things, this is Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Notice this, the nature of what light does. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What makes manifest is light. Last night we were out in the yard with flashlights looking around trying to find something that may have been lost in the yard. Why did we use a light? Because darkness makes it hard to see, doesn't it? And so we use light to help make manifest. And that's the nature of light. Light manifests. And so, by the way, as you go about your business in your daily life as a Christian, your light will shine upon those who are around you. And they'll recognize it, and they'll see. If you live for Jesus Christ, your life and your life will be a conviction to those that are lost. You just take note of that, and you'll find this to be true. Now, as we pursue this matter that light does manifest, we find that light also, in these verses, really what they offer us is that there's a contrast between light and darkness. We know that to be true. It seems so trite to even mention it. But that this light versus darkness is a good versus evil concept. Listen, if you will, I'll have you turn in just a moment, but listen, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Notice the description. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So evil is connected with darkness. Light is connected with righteousness. It's a contrast. He says, if therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In the parallel passage over in the book of Luke, there's an added description that's given in verse 36. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And then he gives this illustration, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. We all know that when you go home, flick on a light switch. We don't use candles, but we flick on a light switch and light fills the room. And so he makes in comparison the difference between light and darkness. And if we're in the light, then we have no part dark. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 11. Very similar to that is the idea that light illuminates, and we've already referenced that in the beginning because that's the nature of light, but light does illuminate, and darkness indeed hinders. We know that to be true. Some of you can't drive at night, can you? You say, well, it's because I have night blindness and that kind of thing, and the lights just sprinkle. Maybe so, but the darkness makes an effect, doesn't it? It's just a problem with darkness. John chapter 11, notice as you read verse 9 through verse 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, He stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Man, learn the contrast. Light illuminates. Light enables you to see. You can go unhindered, but darkness hinders. Darkness is a stumbling block, isn't it? I mentioned a long time ago, I don't know when the last time I mentioned, when I was in college, I had the opportunity to go coon hunting. That was 30-something years ago, and I'm a city boy, always been a city boy, and they had me out there coon hunting. And so we get out there in the woods out in the West Tennessee here, and they said, "Where's your flashlight?" "Well, you didn't tell me to bring one." "I didn't know I needed a flashlight." You say, "Well, you ought to have been smarter than that, being a college student." Well, maybe so, but I'd never been coon hunting before. They didn't tell me I needed a flashlight. I'm glad the moon was out, but I'll tell you, it was dark. And it was very difficult trekking through those woods. You're hearing the whoo, 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 you know, following that dog. I couldn't see a thing, and they were flipping branches in my face, you know, all kinds of things like that. Finally, about halfway through, somebody was kind enough to give me one of their flashlights, and it wasn't much, but at least I could see where I was taking the next step. Light illuminates. I mean, there's a difference between going out in the woods like it is today and going out goon hunting at night without a flashlight. Complete difference. And I'll tell you, if you're saved, you're of the day. And you're not stumbling around in the dark. People that are lost, they're in darkness, aren't they? Keep that in mind, child of light, when you look at the people around you that are lost, that are children of the world, children of disobedience. They are in darkness. And you need to comprehend that. Turn to John chapter 12, just a page over. John chapter 12, verse 35. John 12, 35. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Man, how true is that? Get out at night, man, you can't see. And so, have you ever got up in the middle of the night and not bothered to turn on a light, and you're trying to navigate, say, from your bedroom to the kitchen to get you a glass of water, and you're trying to get through the hallway and get through the living room and all that, and whack, there's your toe into the couch, and then, boom, you walk into the side of the doorway. It's dark. It's dark. And so realize there's a difference between light and darkness, good and evil, and darkness hinders. And Paul told the Romans, and he's talking in regard to the Jewish people in Romans chapter 2. He says, "And you are confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness." And the truth is, people who are blind are in the darkness, aren't they? And if you're lost, you're blind spiritually, and you're in spiritual darkness. But then, if you would, turn back to Luke chapter 12, as the Scripture enables us to understand that darkness and light, and we've already mentioned this, I know it just seems kind of foolish, but what we see is that they're opposites. They're in contrast. And if you walk into a room, it's either dark or it's light. You flip on the light if it's dark, and if you turn off the light, if you flip on the light, you can see. You turn off the light, you can't see. And so there's a contrast. Luke chapter 12, verse 3. "Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light." What an interesting comment. "And that which you have spoken in the ear and the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Just the contrast. See the difference. You think you've got it hidden. You think it's in darkness, but it's going to be spoken in light. And so he uses the light to demonstrate the opposition to darkness. Go back to John chapter 3, if you would. And so as you think about this, and you have to make a spiritual application, whether you're saved today or lost today, you need to make a spiritual application in regard to these things about light and darkness. You will learn that the Scripture teaches us that light is the expression of righteousness. And the passage I've asked you to turn to is John chapter 3. And look at what it says in verse 19, and we'll read through verse 21. "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." My, what a difference between children of light and children of darkness. And light's come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. They love their evil. They don't want to change. One commentator said this, and I quote, "Sinners hate the light. They are enemies to knowledge. They love darkness. They will not receive instruction. And their deeds are such as cannot bear the light." And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd still be in the dark, all wandering around trying to find an answer. But aren't you glad that God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness? And you're now a child of light. And if you're lost, you're still in darkness. And so we see that light is the expression of righteousness. Just the contrast in the text there about the evil and those that hate the light, but those who love the light want to come, and they do different from that. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. So in antithesis of this, and the opposite aspect, what we find, and I'm going to go from the negative viewpoint about darkness. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 53, what I want to express to you in these verses, and I'm drawing this down toward the end, darkness is really an expression of evil, isn't it? As we just saw, that light is an expression of righteousness. Darkness is an expression of evil. And nighttime represents evil, doesn't it? Luke 22, verse 53, the Scripture records for us, "When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Here they are out on the Mount of Olives, really, to arrest Jesus. And he says, "I was with you in the day. You didn't even touch me. You didn't do anything about it. You come out at night, don't you?" Nighttime represents evil. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us it's just really the natural condition for the lost. And I think you can already make that understanding from the verses we looked at. But here's the verse. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Those who are saved have been translated, taken out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, which is, by the way, is a kingdom of light. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Learn by contrast now. Christians ought to say, "Hey, this is how I ought not be," and lost people need to recognize who they are. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." It's pretty evident, isn't it? Look at chapter 2, 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 11. "He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes." And you know, that's just true of every person that's not saved. They're in darkness. They're blind. They're just groping around, trying to find something. They can't. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 5. This verse gives us an inclination about how darkness regards the evil or the corruption or the world system. It's just a simple text here. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." What does that behoove Christians to do who are children of the light and children of the day? Do not have fellowship with the fruits of darkness. That's sanctification. Sanctification. Look in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12. Again, that talks about the corruption of the world. I made reference to 1 John 2, 15 and 16 earlier about love not the world. Stay away from it. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers," notice, "against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so understand that the darkness represents evil. It represents corruption. It's the world system. But we must yet be warned, and I give this text to you, listen very carefully, that evil can take the appearance of light. And I say that because we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So here he is, the ruler of the darkness of this world, transformed into an angel of light in order to deceive children of light and those who are in darkness. Can you glean anything from these things? I trust that you are. Let me give these verses to you as I draw this to a finality. And just consider this. If you're here and you're saved, you rejoice that you have eternal life, you've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, your inheritance of the saints of light, what a joy, what a thrill. But you need to understand what it was you were saved from. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need to understand what your future yet holds. And it's expressed for us in the matter of darkness. Let me share you these verses and then I'll reach my conclusion. Here's the final judgment upon the lost. Matthew 8:12. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Jude 13, talking about false prophets, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Do you realize that the Bible depicts for us that people who are lost are in darkness, they continue in darkness, and after the final judgment, they remain in darkness? I'm glad to be a child of light. And I'm a child of light simply because of the grace of God. So in conclusion, I've given you a lot of information last week and a lot of information this week. And if you need to, go back and just look through the outline and follow the verses and read those again and again until you get a clear clarity on it. But with what I mentioned to you today, let me give you this in closing. I want to give you a summary of the points. And this is what I give you. Light illuminates. I think we understand that. Light references that which is good and righteous. Light is the opposite of darkness. Therefore, children of light like light and oppose darkness. Difference, isn't it? And yet we find a lot of people who profess to be children of light and they love the dark. Keep that in mind. Well, as such, that is those who are in darkness. And you know what? I remind you that darkness represents evil. And that darkness speaks of an evil, corrupt world system. And I also want to remind you that as all lost people by nature are in darkness. Those people that you know that are unsaved are in darkness. You were in darkness before you were saved. And so as I mentioned last week, I just mentioned again, only God can cause the light to shine in the darkness. So having said these things, I think it's very pertinent to state unto you that children of light are distinct. Therefore, let us live distinctly. Listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Notice, and what communion hath light with darkness? Stay away from the world. We're light. We're distinct. Let us live that way. And may our lives then be consistent with our profession. Romans 13 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And that behooves every one of us who say we're children of light, children of the day. We know what we need to do. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And if you're here and you're lost, dear sinner friend, I want you to recognize your nature. I want you to recognize your condition. I want you to recognize your future. Because you were born dead in trespasses and sins. You're born in darkness. You live in darkness. You grope in darkness. There's no solution to that darkness but Jesus Christ. And if you don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if God by His grace and mercy doesn't shine in your heart and bring you from darkness into light, then you will remain in darkness. And remember those verses about the final end, about the final judgment. Outer darkness. And there we have it. We're children of light. And so if you're saved, recognize the truth, make application to your life, be what Jesus would have you to be. Let your light shine. And if you're not saved, may you see your need and turn to Jesus Christ while there's hope. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. We'll sing. The invitation simply is this: right where you are, as God moves in your heart, as God convicts you, as God draws you, as God reveals things to you, you respond to Him. If you're saved, rejoice in that you have eternal life. Recognize that, hey, then as a Christian, you need to live the way God would have you to live. And if you look at your life and say, well, I know I'm saved, but I've been really pursuing some works of darkness, then cast those things off and pursue what God would have you to pursue. So there's a challenge to believers to live right, and there's a challenge to unbelievers that right where you are, you'd repent and call upon Jesus that you might be saved today, that you might be a child of light before you walk out. May God bless you. Father, bless your word according to your will, saving the lost and strengthening the saved. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?